Our scripture lesson for this morning comes to us from Exodus chapter 34, beginning in the 29th verse. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, as he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. Aaron and all the people of Israel saw Moses, and behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. Afterward, all the people of Israel came near, and he commanded them all that the Lord had spoken to him on Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. Whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with them, he would remove the veil until he came out. When he came out and told the people of Israel what he had commanded, the people of Israel would then see the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face was shining, and Moses would put the veil over his face again until he went to speak with him. This is the word of the Lord. Grace, peace, and mercy to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I think if you went to just about any Lutheran school and you asked the elementary school kids from the Bible, what are some of the most memorable stories of the work of God that you know of? And I'm sure if they picked the top three, it would probably be Adam and Eve. I mean, the creation of the world. Probably be the Exodus account and part of the gospel, part of the lesson that we're reading and thinking about today. And they would probably also mention the life of Jesus. But if you think about it also, those three different biblical accounts that you would think are some of the most amazing accounts where you see the work of God in definite and clear terms, you also see some of the biggest tragedies happen. When we think about the life of the Israelites, especially from the book of Exodus, you see so many accounts of amazing work that God was doing, right? It starts off by talking about the plagues, the 10 plagues, something amazing that if you saw that, you would think, wow, God is doing something amazing right here. I mean, we certainly know that God is trying to deliver us. And then it ends with the death of the firstborn. And if that wasn't so amazing to see the certainty of God just saying, I am your people, I am delivering you, there's the death in the Red Sea of the entire army that was pursuing you. All of your enemies destroyed. And you have the promises of the pillar of fire by night. And the daily bread that they received, the literal daily bread that they would collect to see that God is there taking care of them, providing for their daily needs. 10 commandments given to him. All these amazing accounts that we see. And then we also read, scattered throughout the entire book of Exodus, the grumbling and the complaining nature of the Israelites. And their lack of faith. That is, God, are you really the God of that has been promised to us? Because we feel like we were better off in under the Egyptian rule. Is this really what you have for us? Are we better off now? In 21st century America, we look at that and we say, isn't that amazing? You lived through one of the most amazing times in human history, seeing God work in amazing ways, and you're thinking that, how do you doubt? How are you uncertain that God is at work in your life? I think we, in the 21st century, we also doubt this uncertainty. Is God really at work? Does God really care about us? Because we look at uncertainty in the world and we get shook up. I'm amazed that 2 years out, again, we have to hear about the political elections that are happening 2 years from now. The debates are going to start. Everybody's wondering what's going to happen in 2 years. Is there going to be a continuity of government? Are we going to be able to get the conservative pro-life judges that we want? Or is there going to be a totally different government that's coming? What's going to happen in the future? We all want to know. And if you're not overly concerned wanting to know about the political future of the United States, you're probably thinking, what is going to happen in the future of my loved one and their health, or maybe your own health? As you see life changing, evolving, you're thinking, I don't know if I'm going to have my loved one in my life in 2 years from now, or a year from now. Or what is my life going to look like in 5 or 10 years from now with the different chronic diseases or whatever that you're dealing with? And if there's not uncertainty with that, we consider the uncertainty of life and the spirituality of our loved ones. I've always loved the hymn, Lord, keep us steadfast in thy word. But when I had children, that hymn took on a new meaning. Because it becomes no longer just a prayer or a hymn for myself, but I start thinking about my kids. And I think, Lord, please keep my kids in thy word. Or my loved ones in thy word. I really don't care too much about sports and all that kind of stuff, but I think about my kids, and I think, if anything, I hope that the Lord keeps them in his word and that they die in the one true Christian faith. Because you see so many people around you over the course of your life that abandon and reject God over time. And I know for me and my wife, if my children abandon the faith, that would be one of those heartbreaks that would be almost too much for us to bear. So we pray, because we don't know the future. You see, uncertainty is one of the things that the Israelites dealt with. And God would constantly come to them and say, I am present with you. And in Moses' face, shining in the midst of them, was a constant reminder that God hasn't abandoned them, that they're not all alone, and that God is constantly going to them. You in your life, God wants you to know that you can have certainty that he is your Lord, that he is your God, that he is with you, even when you don't know what the future brings. Because after all, who wants uncertainty in their life? Who likes to think, I don't know if I'll be employed in a year from now? Who likes to think, one of my loved ones could die and be with the Lord? Most of us, we hate that uncertainty. And the Lord knows that we need that certainty. So he's constantly coming to us through outside means. And it started all the way at your birth, or right after, when you were baptized as a child, where your parents or other people brought you to the font, baptized you with the word and with water. And it was something that was completely passive, that you didn't do, that God was completely doing. He was promising you life, salvation, and that he would be your heavenly father. But to give you certainty throughout your entire life, every single Sunday, he continues to come to you in visible, tangible ways to remind you, you can be certain that I got you. That you can bank on the fact that God loves you, that he forgives you all of your sins, even when you have a hard time forgiving yourself. When you turn inwardly and you're consumed with your own thoughts, you can be reminded constantly that God's got you. So every week we go to the divine service and we hear how God is coming to us. And we begin the service by confessing that we are poor, miserable sinners in our thoughts, words, and deeds. But even more important than just confessing the wretchedness that we are and that we do, we're constantly reminded by our pastor that he, as a called and ordained servant of the word, announced the grace of God unto all of you in the stead of Christ, and that your sins are forgiven over and over again in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then you hear the preaching of the word, that not only are you sinners, but you're forgiven, that you're his child. Even though you feel like wandering away, that the good shepherd is constantly going after you. And then you get the joy of being able to pray and talk to your heavenly father, and for him to hear and answer your prayers, because you have that access to him through Jesus Christ. And then for a few moments here on earth, heaven and earth, they collide. And miraculously, Jesus is bodily present in a special way to give you the ongoing forgiveness of sins. And you receive that certainty in your mouth that you are his child, that your sins are forgiven. No matter what you've done, you can taste Christ. You can taste the body and blood going into your mouth. and you hear the words that you are forgiven of all your sins. And as you are ready to depart, you once again are blessed. You're blessed by God in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That as you go out that week, that you go out with God. Your Lord and Savior is constantly coming to you to bless you, to give you certainty that he loves you, that he cares about you. In his word, he constantly is giving us comfort. Philippians chapter 1 is one of our favorite verses. Many of you were probably baptized with that verse or confirmed with the verse. That we can be confident in this, that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. Or I should also add that we can be confident in this, that he who began a good work in your loved ones will be faithful to complete it and carry it on till completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Or Romans chapter 8, that I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor demons, neither present or future or any powers nor height nor depth or things to come or anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. Constantly throughout his word, as you're reading the scripture, you are confronted that he is constantly going after you. And you can be certain of that. All of us one day will also see that brilliant, shining face of God, just as Moses did thousands of years ago. But when we see that face of God and we are in his presence, it won't be with the law, it won't be with condemnation, it won't be with the Ten Commandments. On your last day, when you stand before God and you see the brilliant radiance of God, it will be followed with the words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Now enter into your rest." And to this we say, Amen. May this grace, which surpasses all understanding, may guard your hearts, may guard your minds, through Jesus Christ, who is this world's only Lord and Savior. Amen.